from pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. A great day to remember that Americans, for all of our differences, differences in race, differences in background, differences in wealth, differences in ideology, differences in political outlook, differences in activism, all our differences, it's one nation. And may it remain one nation under God, with an ability to work out those things on which we disagree. And every once in a while, you will hear a voice that is generally associated with the left actually speaking some home truths that will resonate with conservatives. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number on this holiday day. There's I do think there's a fascinating question about the importance of this QAnon problem. And when I say a problem, a lot of the identifiable signage that you could see at the riots on Capitol Hill, there were signs for a number of organizations, for the Proud Boys, for the Boogaloo Boys. The Boogaloo Boys, you could pick out because they wear Hawaiian shirts. And they, because it's cold, it's Washington, it's January, they were wearing Hawaiian shirts over sweaters at some point. Now, why do they wear Hawaiian shirts? Because Boogaloo sounds like big luau. That's what's been explained to me. And the Boogaloo Boys believe that a race war is inevitable, and they want to bring on that race war sooner than ever. This is kind of the opposite of Dr. King's dream. This is the Boogaloo Boys' nightmare. Thank God we are not talking about a huge organization or a huge representation here. And nor are we necessarily talking about a huge group with QAnon, though based upon metrics that people take a look at, social media, websites, there's an estimate that there are at least several million Americans who believe in the QAnon conspiracy theory. We will get to why that is and what you do about it. Ben Sasse, who is certainly one of those young Republican, very conservative senators who is considering, I mean, it's said that every senator wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and as he's shaving, thinks, is that the face of a president? Ben Sasse is one of those people who has attracted that kind of attention. And with Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley kind of down in the dumps because of their role in trying to throw out the electoral votes of both Pennsylvania and Georgia. With that role, those two are not riding so high in the presidential sweepstakes. Ben Sasse wrote a piece, fantastic piece, actually, about what to do about QAnon. We will get to it. But first off, Bill Maher. Bill Maher on Friday night actually said some things that were profoundly important and unquestionably true. And yeah, he comes from the left. But he's a guy who every once in a while will surprise you by articulating perceptions and arguments and viewpoints that would be more readily ascribed to the right. Here is Bill Maher on his real-time show at the very end of his show where he offers up commentary. This is clip 3A.
Let's not confuse 5,000 people with 74 million. Yes, even even supporting the insurrection in spirit is, well, deplorable. But there's a difference between holding illiberal beliefs and acting violently on them. At least that's what they always told me about Islamic terrorism. I keep wrestling on this show with the hard question of how do Americans, all of us, learn to share a country with you can't stand? I've preached and still do that you can hate Trump, but not all the people who like him. And as counterintuitive as it may seem, you can like something run by without being one yourself. Just ask Chick-fil-A. There's been so much liberal happy talk this week about how, oh, this is the end of the Republicans now. Yeah, just like Watergate was the end of the Republicans, and Bush after Katrina was, and now it's Trump. Please, does anyone think that no matter who's running in 2024 on Election Day, it won't be extremely close? I'll bet anyone out there a quadrillion zillion dollars it will be. Because 74 million Trump voters are not self-deporting. And neither are we.
Okay. Solid point. I think so. And then he goes on to talk about the Air Force veteran. She served 14 years in the Air Force who was killed during the Capitol riot. Listen.
One of the casualties in this attack on the Capitol this month was Ashley Babbitt. She was a Trump-loving small business owner. She had a pool cleaning company right down the road here in San Diego. She was an Air Force vet who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and she lost her life trying to prevent Biden from becoming president, even though she had voted for the Obama-Biden ticket not that long ago. But somehow, she came to believe that if Joe became president, horses full of Greeks would rape our women and Georgia would go communist. She is the tragedy of the modern Republican voter that, yes, has squeezed the middle class hard, but always coming up with the wrong answer to who is doing most of this squeezing.
And he concludes this with this note about life in California. This is clip 3C.
It shouldn't be that surprising that America is full of fed up, unhappy people who just want to break. Trump sure didn't drain any swamps, but when it comes to graft and corruption and everybody wetting his beak, California, yeah, that's a swamp too. We can't put up a housing unit for the homeless for less than 500 grand or build a rail line connecting the state for less than $200 million a mile. Even though in France, with all their socialism, they did it for more like 15 million. California is a blue state that is completely held together by red tape. It's no wonder people are leaving in droves. I am in year 4 of trying to get my solar power hooked up. Just building this shed up to code took 3 years. We'll all be getting our power from dilithium crystals before my solar gets turned on. How about this? Will you hook it up if I let the homeless live in it?
Okay, that's Bill Maher. And I think acknowledging some points that are completely solid. And expressing compassion for Ashley Babbitt, did she deserve to die? Of course not. Does that mean that the Capitol cop who shot her as she was trying to burst through a window into the Senate chamber, and that's what she was doing, does that mean the cop who shot her deserves to go on trial for murder or manslaughter or anything? No. He was one of those courageous people, and the Capitol Police were extraordinarily courageous and standing up against these people. And that's what's so sad about this entire thing and why I think so many people instinctively said, hey, this can't be Trump people. Conservatives support the cops. Well, in this case, they were driven by a fanaticism and an extremism that even undermined that core respect for police officers we ought to have. And that fanaticism involves something else that was held deeply by Ashley Babbitt, who was killed at the riot. She was a believer in QAnon, this idea that Trump is engaged in a life or death struggle with a cabal of Satanist, child trafficking, blood drinking cannibals. It's not a joke. There's nothing funny about it. People are dying because of this stupidity. Where's it come from? Where's it going? We'll talk about it coming up on The Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
Bingo!
Don't bingo me.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there are a lot of Americans who are deeply, deeply upset about Joe Biden taking the oath of office, as he will. Let's see, I'm still trying to keep a track. It's about 43 and a half hours from now. So it's we're at ticking down the time, as Jeremy said, before Grandpa moves in. Actually, I think Trump has more grandchildren than Biden. But Bernie Sanders, what's that? Yeah, but I'm pretty energy level. Okay. Well, I actually, if you talk about the Biden plan for some very sweeping changes, including tax hikes in the next couple of weeks, I mean, coming up quickly, maybe a little less energy would be a good thing. It just could be. They do have to get through impeachment. With all of that going on, there is a particular problem with the Biden inauguration for people who believe in QAnon. And the New York Times actually did a remarkable profile. I can't believe that the subject of the profile, who's apparently a successful singer, actress, she's the author of four different books, some of which have done okay. She's a New York personality, and she's a very glamorous, deep-dyed QAnon believer. And the portrait of her by Kevin Roos begins this way. Every morning, Valerie Gilbert, a Harvard-educated writer and actress, wakes up in her Upper East Side apartment. That means very expensive. Feeds her dog, Milo, and her cats, Marlena and Celeste. Brews a cup of coffee and sits down at her oval dining room table. Then she opens her laptop and begins fighting the global cabal. Ms. Gilbert is a believer in QAnon, the pro-Trump conspiracy theory. Like all QAnon faithful, she is convinced that the world is run by a satanic group of pedophiles that includes top Democrats and Hollywood elites, and that President Trump has spent years leading a top-secret mission to bring these evildoers to justice. She unspools this web of falsehoods on her Facebook page, where she posts dozens of times a day, often sharing links from right-wing sites like Breitbart and the Epic Times or QAnon memes she has pulled off Twitter. On a recent day, her feed included a rant against COVID-19 lockdowns, a grainy meme accusing Congress of high treason, a post calling Lady Gaga a Satanist, and a claim that Covfefe, that typo that Mr. Trump accidentally tweeted 3 years ago, was actually a coded intelligence message concerning the cabal. These are confusing times for followers of QAnon, a deranged conspiracy theory birthed in the bowels of the Internet. Normally, you don't birth out of bowels, but this one certainly did. They were told that Mr. Trump would be reelected in a landslide and that a coming storm, in quotes, would expose the global pedophile ring and bring its leaders to justice. But there have been no mass arrests, and Mr. Trump is leaving office on Wednesday under a cloud of a second impeachment. Many prominent QAnon followers have been arrested over their roles in this month's deadly mob riot at the U.S. Capitol. They are being barred by the thousands from major social networks for spreading misinformation about voter fraud, and law enforcement agencies are treating the movement as a domestic extremist threat. The FBI identified QAnon as a domestic terror threat. These setbacks have left QAnon believers like Ms. Gilbert hoping for a last-minute miracle. Her current theory is that Mr. Trump will not actually leave office on Wednesday, but will instead declare martial law, declassify damning information about the deep state, and arrest thousands of cabal members, including President-elect Joseph Biden. Like any movement its size, which is almost certainly in the millions, though it is impossible to quantify, QAnon contains a wide range of beliefs and tactics. Some Anons are veteran conspiracists who have spent years exploring the theory's many tributaries. Others are newer converts who have only a vague idea how it all connects. There are law-abiding keyboard warriors as well as violent, unhinged radicals. The guy with the horns and the hat, the QAnon shaman, who was arrested at the dais of the Senate, he's one of those unhinged radicals. There is no question that QAnon, which began in 2017, just 3 years ago, with a series, 4 years ago now, with a series of anonymous posts on the 4chan online message board by Q, a person purporting to be a high-ranking government leader who it's outgrown its roots on the far-right fringes. It is now a Big Ten conspiracy theory community that includes left-wing yoga moms, anti-lockdown libertarians, and stop-the-steal Trumpists. QAnon believers are young and old. They're male and female. They're educated and not. Every community in America has its fair share of them. Dentists and firefighters and real estate agents who disappeared down a social media rabbit hole one day and never came back. Mike Rothschild, who is a conspiracy theory researcher who is completing a book about QAnon, said this is not just young male incel. Incels are involuntarily celibate who live in their parents' basements and can't get a real job. QAnon gives you a target to point your anger at. It gives you something to do about it. That's something that can appeal to anyone who's disaffected in any way. Ms. Gilbert's elite pedigree, she attended the Dalton School in Manhattan, which costs, what is it, close to $100,000 a year. And she worked at the Harvard Lampoon with Conan O'Brien in the 1980s, illustrates the wide range of people who have ended up in Q's thrall. And her story hints at how hard it will be to bring these people back to reality. What attracts Ms. Gilbert and many other people to QAnon isn't just the content of the conspiracy theory itself. It's the community, the sense of mission it provokes. New QAnon believers are invited to chat rooms and group texts, and their posts are showered with likes and retweets. They make friends, and they're told that they are not lonely. Facebook addicts squinting at zoomed-in paparazzi photos but patriots gathering intel for a righteous revolution. Okay, I think that's a fairly decent description, but really, I've asked for this before, and we've never gotten a response, but seriously, I would love to talk to someone who takes this theory seriously, who actually believes that there is this conspiracy behind child trafficking and pedophilia and Satanism and cannibalism and much more, and that involves people like Biden and Hillary Clinton and Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates. 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael Medved Show.
Extraordinary. It's been a very long time. I mean, since 1968, obviously. I still remember. I now you remember the 50th anniversary like it was yesterday. Well, it was kind of yesterday, but it was 3 years ago. And of the April 4th, which was the day that Dr. King was assassinated, of course. Today is the Dr. King holiday because his birthday is observed the third Monday in January, and that is today. And I think it is worth celebrating Dr. King's holiday and work because he was talking about a conspiracy of goodness, if you will. We're talking about conspiracy theories, and it was open. It was an open conspiracy. Anybody could join. And anybody could participate. And there were millions and millions of Americans. Me, even as a college student, thought in a small way that I could. And again, restoring that American idealism, I think, means getting away from conspiracy theories. And what's the biggest problem with conspiracy theories? They leave you feeling helpless. They leave you feeling hopeless. And helpless and hopeless are two of the worst and least American things you can be. Why helpless? Well, because if the actual world is run by these profoundly evil blood drinkers and people who are child trafficking, and if that actually is true, or even a corner of it is true, or any of it is true, and people are protecting these people in high places who are engaged in these horrible practices, if that has even an ounce of truth to it, you are isolating yourself from the world. I was reading the story of this poor woman, Valerie Gilbert, and I do feel sorry for her. I mean, look, if you look at what she posts on the internet, it's crazy, and in fact, it's dangerous. Because if people take this seriously in a country where we have a Second Amendment and where you have access to firearms, even if you believe in QAnon, it's an extraordinarily dangerous thing. And one of the things that she says about what happened to her when she was introduced to QAnon, and the whole idea of Q is a reference to a very high security rating, and supposedly there is a real Q. They don't think there is, but someone who was very high security, and he knows all this stuff, and he knows that Trump has been fighting it for years, and that's why Trump decided to run for president. And I mean, in some of its more baroque and ridiculous aspects, Wayfair furniture is supposed to be associated with it. And that when you're ordering pieces of furniture from Wayfair furniture, they always have girls' names on them, like Ashley or Marjorie, or I don't know. And supposedly that means you're ordering a different kind of female child that gets delivered to you. And it's complete nonsense. By the way, that's not true. I don't want Wayfair furniture coming after me. But they've had enough problems with this. And all of this is based upon the fact that there's somebody who had been accused of being part of QAnon who had the same name, but it's a different person of somebody who is an executive at Wayfair Furniture. Anyway, it says in the story of Valerie Gilbert, who's ruined her life, by the way. She's lost her friends. She's divorced and single. She apparently has a very tough time with social relationships with people who are outside the so-called QAnon community. And why? Because people don't like being around somebody else, no matter how well-educated or how attractive or who's talking nonsense. She's talking craziness. She says, the world opened up in Technicolor for me, she said. It was like the Matrix. Everything just started to download. That's when she first heard of Pizzagate, the idea that they were running this child sex trafficking ring from the basement of, Comet Pizza on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. And you can go to Comet Pizza. There's no basement in the building. There's no basement from which they can operate their sex trafficking ring. And by the way, if this includes world leaders and the wealthiest, some of the wealthiest people in the world, and some of those powerful people like Bill Gates, why would they have to do their headquarters? Why? In the basement of a pizza parlor? Why would they do that? Oh, you wouldn't think to look there. Well, you know what? If you're Bill Gates, Bill Gates lives on a pretty nice parcel of land in Medina, Washington. And a lot of his house is underground. And if there really was such a conspiracy, what sense does it make to host the conspiracy inside a pizza parlor? I mean, really? Let's go to Richard in South Carolina. Richard, you're on the Medved Show.
Hello, Michael. My comment is about why people believe in these conspiracy theories. And I believe that the one of the main reasons, and this is really becoming worse and worse, is you just don't know where to go to get any accurate information that you can believe. The media, sort of let you down with the way they're biased. And, I listen to your show because of the reason is because I feel like I get accurate information. But I think most people,
thank you,
when they can't get the information, then they look for something. And they look for a conspiracy theory, or they look for a very talented speaker who can, galvanize a crowd. But that's what they turn to. And to me, that's a major issue in our country right now, is where do you go? I read the newspapers, but a lot of what I read, I feel like, no, I'm not sure this is really true.
Well, it's one of the things, boy, are you right. I think you're entirely correct. And that's one of the unfortunate aspects here of what's happened is, and by the way, the news that Fox News has lost a very considerable numbers of listeners and viewers, and they've all gone over to One America Network, which has grown 400% its viewership because One America Network has promoted the lie, and it is a lie, that President Trump really won the election. It's a difficult thing. There's a piece in the American Spectator, which is very pro-Trump magazine and very conservative magazine, but it's a piece about conspiracy theories and what's wrong with them and how you can evaluate a conspiracy theory. And what do they say? They say you have to take a look at every conspiracy and ask three things. Credibility, and that manages to question the sources. Consistency, and there is one more that we will get to. I also want to get to the argument by Ben Sasse that the future of the Republican Party really, really requires us standing up against QAnon and other crackpot theories of hidden, all-powerful conspiracies. We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
I think you are the greatest debater on radio today.
The Michael Medved Show.
Michael Medved Show. Richard in South Carolina, I think, raised a very, very valid point, is that once upon a time, there used to be actual debate in within TV cable networks, within TV networks, where, do you remember they used to have Crossfire, where they would have Pat Buchanan was a regular on Crossfire, and he'd be debating various people who would be taking the liberal side of things. I don't think it ever got to be Pat Buchanan and Keith Olbermann, though that would have been entertaining, I'm sure. They used to have Hannity and Combs. Alan Combs passed away, but he was gone from the show before that. And today, we are all siloed, I think is the term people use, within our own media quadrants. And it's one of the reasons that I try to be not entirely predictable in the way I'm going to react to things. And And somebody else who I think has that great virtue of predictability, who can talk to all sides, I think, persuasively and effectively, is Senator Ben Sasse. He's brilliant. I mean, if you look at his academic record, it's astonishing. He was before in the U.S. Senate. He was the president of a Christian college in Nebraska for 5 years. I think he became president of Midland University in his 20s. But he writes this. And this appeared in The Atlantic. So it's not going primarily to a conservative audience, but it's aimed at a conservative audience. And I hope every conservative will read it, and we'll post it on our website or link to it on our website at michaelmedved.com. Senator Sasse of Nebraska writes, "The violence that Americans witnessed and that might recur in the coming days is not a protest gone awry or the work of a few bad apples. It is the blossoming of a rotten seed that took root in the Republican Party some time ago and has been nourished by treachery, poor political judgment, and cowardice. There's, by the way, another motivation. It's called money. It's called making money, putting money ahead of truth. When Trump leaves office, my party faces a choice. We can dedicate ourselves to defending the Constitution and perpetuating our best American institutions and traditions, or we can be a party of conspiracy theories, cable news fantasies, and the ruin that comes with them. We can be the party of Eisenhower or the party of the conspiracist Alex Jones. We can applaud Officer Goodman or side with the mob he outwitted. We cannot do both." Officer Goodman, he begins with a story of Eugene Goodman, who's a Capitol cop, an American hero, who helped head off a mob of thugs and conspiracists. They all, a lot of them had QAnon labels on them, who were getting ready to lynch Mike Pence. They were chanting merrily, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence." He writes, "Until last week, many party leaders and consultants thought they could preach the Constitution while winking at QAnon. They can't. The GOP must reject conspiracy theories or be consumed by them. Now is the time to decide what this party is about. The newly elected Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. She once ranted that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take the global cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles out, and I think we have the president to do it." That's a quote. During her campaign, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy had a choice: disavow her campaign and potentially lose a Republican seat, or welcome her into the caucus and try to keep a lid on her ludicrous ideas. McCarthy failed the leadership test and sat on the sidelines. Now in Congress, Congresswoman Greene isn't going to just back McCarthy as leader and stay quiet. She's already announced plans to impeach Joe Biden on his first full day as president. She'll keep making fools out of herself, her constituents, and the Republican Party. If the GOP is to have a future outside the fever dreams of internet trolls, we have to call out falsehoods and conspiracy theories unequivocally. We have to repudiate people who peddle those lies. And they do peddle them. I mean, make money on it. Let's go to a Scott in Spokane. Scott, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Good. I don't really believe in this conspiracy theory that I'm going to tell you, but I think it's kind of interesting. But could I comment real quick on what you're talking about? I guess where I'd be coming from, I kind of understand why people are starting to believe this conspiracy stuff too, is because you have a system where, I mean, things like voter fraud, I mean, and maybe they are conspiracy theories, but we're not going through the process where you can take the argument to be heard before a court or played out in Congress. And so people
Scott, there were 60 different lawsuits that were heard in court by the Trump campaign concerning voter fraud.
All the way through, though.
They were all dismissed because they weren't based on anything.
Okay, well, anyways, but people are what I'm saying is people don't trust it because, you know, you hear this stuff. And, I mean, there were, I mean, there's pictures of, like, I mean, I've even seen pictures of a Facebook owner being over there on the Epstein Island. And then you got the Prince Charles or whatever his name is over there. I mean, there's a bunch, we know there's a bunch of rich people that have had something to do with some of this child molestation stuff. And so that's another, I mean, okay. It throws people off. It does. So I'm just saying.
Oh, you're right. But here's the thing about Jeffrey Epstein. It's a terrible person, terribly guilty, horrible, horrible, horrible. There is no evidence at all. And believe me, they have looked and they have looked and they're still holding his girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, in prison. There's no evidence of murder. There's no evidence of satanic rituals. None of the women, and there are a bunch of them, who survived the unconscionable abuse by Jeffrey Epstein, none of them say that they were made to participate in Satanist rituals. And to say that Jeffrey Epstein was a horrible human being and despicable and got away with what he was doing for years and years, he was, while he was alive, before his final imprisonment, he was arrested before and charged in Florida and convicted and just got off with a plea deal for a light sentence. But again, the idea that I know, what's your crazy conspiracy theory you wanted to mention that you thought was interesting? Maybe okay. I can help you with that.
Well, here's the conspiracy theory. If you believe that Joe Biden was elected, and I don't believe Joe Biden was, but let's set that aside. I think what'll happen here, it's possible that it could be a thing where, and I believe that Martin Luther King and JFK actually probably might have been murdered by their own party, because they're always trying to push it on the Republican side as being evil and having something to do with all this. And there's a lot of groups that have pretty good arguments that they may have been murdered by Democrats. Anyhow, but that said, I think that, I mean, you got more military guarding this guy than anything you ever seen. If Trump had ever done anything like this, they would have been accusing him of all kinds of stuff. And I think someone might come out and try to shoot Biden. May kill him. Maybe it's a fake bullet, or maybe they'll get Kamala, and they're going to pin it on the military to try to get people to just totally distrust our military. Okay. It's basically to take over everything. And then basically,
can I tell you something? Let's just back up. You cited the Kennedy assassination, and you think that it was actually Democrats who took out John Kennedy. Would you please just take a look at a book called Reclaiming History? It's by Vincent Bugliosi, who was a guest on this show. It's a 5,000-page book. The murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy is the most investigated crime in the history of the world. Do you know how many volumes of evidence were published with the Warren Commission, Scott?
How many?
28, and with 1,000 pages each. There is evidence of unbelievable, and there's no question, no one, even the conspiracists, don't question that Oswald killed Kennedy. And by the way, there is literally no argument medically. They now have looked at the autopsy photos. Kennedy was not shot from the grassy knoll. He was not hit in the forehead from the front. I mean, all of this stuff is nonsense. It's crap. It's like the people who think that the planes didn't crash into the Twin Towers when we have tape of it. They did. And the towers went down because of the planes. And all of this stupid stuff that Lee, and by the way, part of that is the idea that Biden didn't win the election. I mean, surely with all of the investigations and all of the court cases and all of the media looking at it, reality really works best for this greatest nation on God's green earth.